This is East Carolina All-American Bryant Packard, and we're talking Pirate Baseball and the Sports Objective.
You're watching Extra Innings, presented by PGXGloves.com on the Sports Objective. Join us every Sunday night on Facebook Live, our YouTube channel, and X as we talk East Carolina baseball. Land lies the previous week while also taking a look at what lies ahead. Now, let's talk Pirate Baseball.
Welcome into Extra Innings. Pirates get a big sweep in Lynchburg over Liberty, the Flames, and with me, my good friend, my brother from a different mother, all the way in China Grove, North Carolina, Bubba Rosenbaum. What's up, dude?
Not a whole lot, Dave. Enjoying a little cookout, you know, a southern delicacy. I think maybe they've even spread to other parts of the country now, but at least here in the South, we love our cookout, peanut butter milkshake, burger and fries. But a heck of a week for the Pirates. Unfortunately, unable to get those midweek games with VCU in. One was canceled. One was rescheduled for down the road
on May the 8th.
And, big sweep over Liberty. No, Liberty hadn't been great to start the season, but this is a program. No, they weren't in a regional a year ago, but the three previous seasons, they had been a lot of success under Scott Jackson. And speaking of that success, at Liberty Stadium under Scott Jackson, they are 99-30. So the Pirates going in there and producing this sweep 9-5, 5-3, and 8-4, it should not be taken lightly.
No doubt about it. In fact, our first road wins of the season. The Carolina game was a neutral site, so that does not count. Even though technically, that's not at Clark LeClair, still a neutral site win. And proud of the Pirates. By the way, Bubba, I did not know. You never told me this. You always keep me up to speed on stuff. I did not know that Cliff Godwin coached at Quinnipiac. I must have missed that somewhere. I don't know, but there was a graphic up yesterday, and our good friends at Liberty did a great job. But apparently Cliff Godwin was coach of Quinnipiac, and somehow I missed that, man.
Yeah, as soon as I saw that graphic, I was like, well, it's either the last home game or they've certainly played him at home at some point, and that was their season opening series. When they played Quinnipiac, and it was one of those things, and it became a running joke in our mega text that we have with about 15 to 20 other Pirate fans. But hey,
it happens.
Yeah, one of those things. I'm sure they'll learn from it and be better moving forward on the Liberty Flames ESPN Plus live streams. But you take a look at this series. The Pirates got the sweep, but very impressive fashion in how they did so from the standpoint that in Saturday and Sunday's games, we faced multiple run deficits in the middle innings in each of those and, found a way after trailing 3-0 going into the sixth on Saturday in just brutal baseball conditions. And just glad we're able to get that game in. My dad was in attendance the last 2 days. I was in attendance on Friday. But, 3-0 through five in game two. And then today, trailing by a couple runs there, I think going into the fifth, but found a way to get it done.
No doubt about it. By the way, Bubba, you mentioned Cookout, the great restaurant. For those of you around the country, you may not know what we're talking about. It's a great restaurant. And they have a great southern. Speaking of southern delicacies, in the great town of Salisbury, they have Cheerwine. In fact, by the way, Bubba, the guys from San Francisco that were putting our new visitor management system in the hospital in Greenville, they did not know about Cheerwine. So they're new fans all the way from the great city of San Francisco. They know about Cheerwine now. I forgot to tell you that. I thought about you.
Yeah,
I told him you were right near.
Since you brought that up about Cheerwine, going back, you know, 20 plus years now. I guess this was prior to my, sophomore or junior year of college. My roommate, you know, don't see him a whole lot, but now, you know, he lives in Lexington, Kentucky. He was originally from Ohio. You know, I brought in a case of Cheerwine, and he just kind of looked at me funny because of that name with the wine at the end of it.
Right.
And my mom started laughing, or both of us, and just smiled and said, no, it's a soft drink. It's a cherry flavored soft drink. So, but he tried it and he got hooked. So anytime I see Aaron, I'll take him a case of Cheerwine.
There you go. By the way, Sundrop, is that down the road? It's not in that's, is that Kannapolis or is that the same plant? I've always wanted to know. It's somewhere in the area, right? For Sundrop. It's kind of like a Mountain Dew.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Definitely a fan of Sundrop, even though I prefer Mountain Dew.
Yeah. Sorry to go off the salt.
Sundrop's right here as well.
Okay. Now we'll get back to baseball. But fans, you know what I'm talking about. The soft drinks is part of the baseball experience. So, JR said that. All right. Cheerwine Balt Sundrop. Thank you, JR.
And while we're on soft drinks and, you know, things that you may purchase at a baseball game at a concession stand, and it's kind of funny because some Pirate fans near me just looked at me with kind of a strange look on their face. About the fifth or sixth inning on Friday, went and grabbed me a drink and some peanuts. The bag of peanuts is the smallest bag of, I believe it was Hampton Farms peanuts, but it's the smallest bag of peanuts that I've ever seen sold at a ballpark. And I know one gentleman near me, he purchased three or four bags because the bag was so small.
You get a little sampler of peanuts. And if you're from Eastern North Carolina, I grew up on peanuts, so you better have a big bag. I'm just saying. By the way, Bubba, before, and JR just said Cheerwine bought Sundrop. So I know they were they used to be individual, I guess, bottlers or the cans there, but certainly now they're together. So very cool. Bubba, I wanted to let you know, for the fans that don't know, very proud of my son and daughter. They were baptized today. So before I forget, my son, Alexander McKenzie, my daughter, really proud of them. Big thing for them. And so I want to honor them tonight on tonight's show. It's been a great day. And when I say I'm on such a high, it's not the kind of high that most people think about. It's for your son and daughter.
That's awesome news. I'm so glad to hear that. It's obviously, as I told you earlier, just an outward expression, you know, of the most important personal decision that we can make.
Exactly.
And, Cliff Godwin and the Pirate team, and that was awesome, kind of bringing it back to Pirate baseball. And that was something earlier this year during the preseason, right there, not too long before first pitch, prior to one of the practices or one of the intra-squads, several of the guys were baptized there on the field. I mean, and we've heard about the excellent job that Carter Cunningham is doing from an FCA standpoint, and he and Charlie Hodges. Kudos and shout out to those guys for the awesome job they're doing and spreading Jesus Christ on the East Carolina campus through FCA.
FCA is huge, and I know, Bubba, you're probably like me in high school. I was in there, and a great organization in high school. I wish I had, but I'm sure we did. I should have looked it up in college. But FCA, tremendous, tremendous organization. And maybe we can get some more people on, Bubba. I think we had tried to at one time about FCA getting them on the state. When I say state, I mean the state of North Carolina chapter, to get them on, and it would be great, a great thing.
Yeah, it would, and unless it's changed, I know he at least used to be the head of FCA. We've had him on the show.
Yeah, I know he was, Johnny.
Yeah, the color analyst on the Wolfpack Network alongside, I guess, what's about to become the former play-by-play voice of the Wolfpack, Gary Hahn. I believe he's stepping down after basketball season. But Johnny Evans, former NC State quarterback, was the head of the Eastern North Carolina FCA.
No doubt. And I tell you what, really proud of these guys getting back to, I was getting ready to say the gridiron, man. I'm really tired.
Dave, you froze up on my end, so.
Can you hear me?
Yep. I didn't want to talk over you there, but I didn't want I didn't want it to be dead air either.
Yeah, I was about to say the gridiron instead of, I said I'm so tired. Been a long day, but the as far as the baseball diamond, really proud of these guys. And by the way, I was going to say, Bubba, really, I know there's a lot of people, and I'm not going to harp on it, but there are people that think that Cliff Godwin on purpose canceled the games. We didn't have a chance to address that because we have a weekly show with extra innings. There's no way in the world if Cliff Godwin could have played those games, especially, well, mainly the
you're frozen up on mine.
Yeah. So anyway, we were. I was saying he's the kind that will play in a grocery store parking lot. He's anytime, anywhere, any place. I don't think that was the case. My understanding, Bubba, help me out. We're live on the air right now, but. My understanding is it was a situation with the weather and maybe the rain snuck up on them is what I heard as far as the conditions of the field with the tarp and everything. I don't know.
Yeah, that's what happened. Obviously, the first game of that two-game midweek series against VCU was to be Tuesday at 4. And yeah, I guess it was Sunday night because – yeah, it had to be because on Monday – at Inside Pirate Athletics, and Cliff Godwin was on with Patrick Johnson as well as Steven Igo, and he referenced that pop-up shower or storm that came on Sunday evening, early Monday morning. So that was an issue there. And, you know, and as a result, the field was not tarped, and with the field not being tarped, it was just kind of a gradual rain. I don't think it was a downpour. And because of that, you know, as odd as it sounds, it just kind of – it can make things more challenging from a field maintenance standpoint than if you were to get a lot of rain all at once. But Dave is back with us now.
Yep, but, trying to get things better.
But, yeah, just unfortunately not able to get both of those games in, but able to reschedule one of them. And we shall see. You're allowed 56 games. Depending on how you've approached things, you know, in the fall, and you know, we are obviously down a game to 55 now since the second of those two games was canceled with the VCU Rams, and that one will be made up along with the midweek game with Duke, and I'm trying to remember who we play from a conference standpoint that week. Tulane. So that'll be a very challenging week with VCU, Duke, and Tulane.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So Cliff Godwin is not going to do that. But anyway, I don't want to harp on that. I just wanted to make that point because I know I saw some stuff on social media and, you know, people get on message boards. And look, we are very passionate. We want to play these games. So I know it's probably a lot of people just being disappointed. But I wanted to make sure people were aware that, which some already know, the sensible fans, that if there was any way possible to play that game. Games, plural, but we knew about Tuesday. Wednesday would probably be doubtful, but Tuesday was really tough. All right, Bubba, let's talk about the games Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, and then we'll obviously look ahead to next week. Is two big weeks, right? This week was great, and then another big week ahead.
Yeah, and we'll hone in on Friday's game. Again, I was in attendance for that one. Decided at the last minute to attend. Treya Savage, obviously, always pitching on Friday night. It's very hard for me to attend a Friday night game. So I was like, well, if I don't go to this one, I may not see him pitch until the postseason.
Well.
So took advantage of that opportunity. And you know, Trey was – no, he wasn't quite as sharp, but that's you had to really nitpick to find – something wrong with that outing. Maybe his command wasn't quite what it had been. But, you know, outside of that, he was excellent once again. Six innings, I believe, ended up allowing one run on three hits. One of those hits was a first batter of the game, infield single, where Joey Breeny made a nice play, just couldn't get to it and get rid of it in time. And then they did square a couple up on him. But one run on three hits, and I believe it was nine strikeouts, two walks in those six innings of work. And that was a game, you know, all these games were a little bit different, but that was the game that the Pirates were most in control of. You know, once we reached the mid to late innings, it was, I believe it was scoreless through the first couple innings. Liberty was actually able to get a couple runners on, as I referenced, but Trey did a good job of navigating around those base runners in the first couple innings. The Pirates were able to get on the board thanks to the hot bats of Bristol Carter and Carter Cunningham, each of who had three hits in the game.
No doubt about it. Man, Bristol Carter, we've been talking about him, the freshman sensation. And, Bubba, I was thinking about over this weekend, can you imagine what that kid's going to be like in a couple of years? I mean, he had a good chance to go ahead and just sign on in the pros and, you know, comes to East Carolina and not to put too much pressure on him because I know he's a freshman. But, man, he's going to be very special by the time he's a junior before he leaves us.
Yeah. Such a great way to put it. Is the way former Pirate pitcher John White and I were communicating right after the game and perhaps even during Friday's game. And he said he's a generational talent. He reminds him a lot of Pat Watkins.
Oh, wow.
He was a first-round draft pick out of East Carolina. You know, not to put pressure on Bristol by any means by making that comparison, but I can definitely see where John was coming from with that comparison with the way Bristol runs, you know, his body type and just being an outfielder and the type of player he is. You know, he we heard that he was pretty much a pull hitter throughout the fall. And, you know, he's developed into a guy who can hit the ball well to all fields. You saw a double down the left field line early. And then you saw a triple to the right center gap, and that was an easy. Yeah, he did slide, but he probably could have been in there standing up, but wasn't going to take a chance. But the Flames did not have a play at third. And then later, he showcased that speed, laying down a bunt there in the last couple innings.
No doubt about it. Great for him, and looking forward to big things from him. And, you know, Bubba, we talked about this team has a lot of veterans on it, but also has a lot of young talent. And I'm telling you, you just wait to May and June. These players that are freshmen now, as they say in the business, they won't be freshmen anymore by the time that school is out, I'm sure, in May, and they only have to focus on baseball. It's going to be a very special team, no doubt.
Yeah, those guys like Bristol Carter and Colby Wallace. And then, of course, a few arms. They're growing up quickly. But you referenced the veterans. You know, what about the weekends that Carter Cunningham and JJC, Jacob Jenkins-Cowart had? JJC struggled on Friday. You know, you're going to have some of those days. But then he bounced back with back-to-back two-hit performances on Saturday and Sunday. And Carter Cunningham, who is our PGXGloves.com player of the week. Carter, 5 for 12, 6 RBI, 2 doubles, also had a walk or two thrown in there, and just another tremendous week for Carter, who's batting just under 500. I know through Friday's game he was exactly 500, but the stats have not been updated. And, you know, Carter had – each of those doubles brought in multiple runs. The first double was two runs, and then the Pirates, leading 4-1 going into the top of the eighth, were able to load the bases, and then we had Carter Cunningham coming to the plate. They fell behind him 2-0, and then I think they worked back to make it a 2-2 count, and then he delivered an opposite field double that cleared the bases like we were expecting him to do in that situation. and just so thankful that following the 2022 season, for a very brief period of time, he entered his name in that transfer portal, and so glad he opted to remain with East Carolina. And, you know, last year he had a great year, and this year he's off to an even better start.
And, yeah, you know,
and very quickly, Dave, sorry to step on you there, but meant to also, you know, we'll bring in Matt Semenza. Matt, how are you?
What's up, Semenza?
He's just waiting for his walk-up music, I guess.
Hey, Matt. He's on mute, for one thing, if we can get him off mute. How's it going, man?
Now we've gone and done it. We've offended him with the Jersey boy.
He can't stand it.
Eddie Rabbit. And he said, see you guys. I'm out of here.
Yeah. Hopefully he'll be back. He wants some Springsteen, I think is what he wants. But anyway, we'll see if he can. All right. He's giving us another chance. Making his way all the way from the great state of Connecticut. In New Jersey, Matt Semenza, in Massachusetts. No.
Wow, what an entrance. What did I do to deserve that one, man?
hey, Semenza, I've been telling them one of my favorite artists is Bruce Springsteen. I've been telling them for weeks now to put on some Springsteen for Semenza, and they won't listen to me, so.
Yeah, they're going with a little, that you know, you guys know.
That's Kyle from LaGrange.
Yeah, that's Kyle from LaGrange Barber. You know, he likes to throw out that country music, but hey, it's not bad. You know, it's not bad. It's a little low key, though. I think I'd prefer some Springsteen.
I could see some like hard rock. We need some like hard rock for you, like some Breaking Tables kind of music. I don't know, Road Warrior back in the day. We need some like Black Sabbath or something. You know, Iron Man, play that, and then have some Enza come in. Not Eddie, and I love Eddie Rabbit actually, but I'm not really fond of that song.
That sounds good, man.
Hey,
little Metallica.
Hey, before I forget, I've been meaning to talk to both of you about this subject matter, and I promise Bubba we'll talk more Pirate baseball, but it's relevant because I need help from Semenza. So tomorrow in North Carolina, you know it's a big holiday, right, Matt, tomorrow?
Big holiday. Is this the official inaugural day of sports gambling in North Carolina?
Yes, sir. We need your help on it. I'm creating profiles and I'm trying to figure all this stuff out, but for someone that's a novice, tell us a little bit about it and then we'll get back to Pirate baseball. But I wanted to have your comments on it, and I wanted to see if Bubba is going to like put a wager on a game tomorrow.
Yeah, I mean, it's great because
if he only knew, right, Matt?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, here's the thing, you know, it's great. First of all, you can only gamble with what you deposit into your account. So
right.
it's pretty, that's the kind of the first thing. It's pretty easy to keep in check and not, you know, not get too out of control with it. I think one of the things that I'm assuming this is kind of a, you know, across all states is that you're not allowed to bet on your in-state team. So like here in Connecticut, I can't place a bet on UConn if I wanted to. I can't place on Quinnipiac.
I can't bet on the Pirates.
So I don't, I'm assuming that carries through to North Carolina as well.
Okay.
So, you know, if you're going to bet the Pirates, you're going to have to call me. I'll have to place it up from up here in Connecticut.
All right.
Now I'll have like 100 people from the show calling me to
play. And my new bookie's Matt Simmons.
Yeah, exactly. I charge a big, if that's the case, I'm charging 5%.
Hey. Oh my gosh. My bookie's from Connecticut. He's going to come down and break my kneecaps if I, I'm kidding. Simmons is a really cool dude, but I wanted to mention that. I know we were talking about Pirate baseball and we've got a lot of people watching and listening, but I wanted to mention that because I know this let's see. Oh, he says you can bet on in-state teams. John White is saying, a former pitcher for the Pirates. How about that?
Wow. That's good. I mean, that's great. Maybe that's just a Connecticut
thing?
Rule or what? I don't know, but like it frustrates me because, you know, we have such a great basketball team here this year in UConn, and I can't bet on them even if I wanted to. But That's good. Good for you. Especially in North Carolina, because Bubba and I were talking about this earlier. You have so many Division I teams.
Right.
You know, especially, I mean, basketball, you probably have over 20 Division I teams, I'm guessing.
18 baseball teams.
18, right. So, I mean, that would be a huge factor if you couldn't gamble on those games. But, yeah, man, I think you'll enjoy it. I think it's a good thing.
All right, one more. I promised Bubba I would make it limited. I got one more question to both to Bubba and Matt, and to make this sore, bringing up a sore subject. But I know what team you're going to bet on, Matt. You're going to bet on Charlotte. I just have a feeling you're going to bet on Charlotte tomorrow.
Tomorrow? Oh yeah, yeah. I love Charlotte. I'm gonna save my Charlotte bets for getting back at Biff Poggi next year for beating the Pirates in Greenville. So yeah, you know I hate Charlotte.
By the way, I'm gonna like cut off a T-shirt and I'm gonna go to that game and I'm gonna look like Biff. Maybe that'll be my Halloween costume. I don't know. All right, let's get back to baseball. Sorry, Bubba, but with Matt being on the show and you guys, I know that's a big deal tomorrow. So March 11th, if this is archived, the very first day of online sports betting in North Carolina. Pirates, as far as you can definitely bet on the Pirates, Bubba, the nice little segue here. Get a sweep this weekend on the road. Saturday's game, what were your thoughts?
Well, before we transition over to Saturday's game, wanted to go back to those latter innings of Friday's game because after Treya Savage came out of the game, he had allowed that one run in the bottom of the sixth. But then Wyatt Lunsford-Sheetman came on, pitched well, a shutout inning there in the seventh, struck out a couple, did surrender one hit. But at that point, 4-1, you were thinking you're probably going to see him again in the bottom of the eighth. Depending on what we did in the top of the inning. Fortunately, the Pirates threw up a five spot and had that bases clearing double that scored three runs by Carter Cunningham that blew the game open and gave you the 9-1 lead, which allowed you to bring in Aaron Groller, who worked a very quick inning. And then in the ninth, we brought in the freshman lefty, Corey Costello, out of Virginia. And, you know, unfortunately, Corey didn't have his command, you know, allowed four runs on three hits. But then, and then DiLorenzo, D-Lo, came in and quickly slammed the door to end any threat of a major comeback there for the Flames. But the game never really, despite those four runs in the bottom of the ninth, game was never in doubt, in my opinion, because – and I felt very comfortable once DiLorenzo came in the game.
D'Lo, hey, Matt, what's your thoughts on him? Great kid out of New York. He's one of my new favorites from this freshman class, if you will. D'Lo is like lights out. He kind of reminds me, I know, Matt, you're being a Yankees fan, not quite Mario Rivera back in the day. But he's been, to be a freshman, he's got a lot of confidence and that command to be so young. I don't know if we lost Matt or not, but Bubba, I was saying with D'Lo, I'll pitch it to you. D'Lo, definitely one of my new favorites.
I believe Matt may have gotten home and now he's switching devices.
Can you guys hear me?
Yeah, there we go.
Sorry, I was driving back from the Boston area and kind of have some spotty service here. So hopefully you can hear me okay.
All right. Please come home to Boston.
Dave, repeat your question that you had for me as far as DiLorenzo.
Yeah, for you guys, now that we got Matt back, Rivera back in the day for the Yankees, I know that this kid is just young, but just based on the command, I know that Matt's a Yankees fan, so you know it's been like D'Lo is coming in. It's like lights out. The guy has really got a lot of confidence to be a freshman and to be young. And I'm just curious to watch him over the next couple of years to see how much he develops.
Yeah, he reminds me a lot of you know, longtime Pirate fans will remember this, but just his demeanor. You know, maybe not so much his stuff, but just the way he goes about his business and his demeanor is Corey Scott. You know, works very quickly and a pretty high energy guy. And, you know, I think that he seems to have that mentality of a closer that you reference. You know, yeah, we're just 14 games into his collegiate career, and we shall see, you know, whether he remains a bullpen guy or if he develops into a starter. I mean, but this year I could see him taking on that role that Trey Savage grew into back in 2022.
Yeah.
Of course, Trey struggled early on, which D'Lo has not. But Trey, the middle part of that 2022 season, right when the Pirates were starting to get into that 20-game win streak, you know, he developed into a very reliable bullpen option. And at that point, you know, that's what he needed to be because of only being a two-pitch guy.
No doubt about it. And Bubba, it's going to, if we're going to go to Omaha, like we always talk about with the pitching that we have is such a, we have a lot of great guys, and I think it just comes down to getting them work and experience. And when those guys are rolling, I really believe with their bats, we've got one of the best shots we've ever had to go to Omaha. We can't talk about Omaha now as far as, you know, being legitimate right now because it's March the 10th when we're doing the show, Extra Innings. By the way, presented by pgxgloves.com. But
And Dave's, believe he's frozen up for everyone. So I apologize, Dave, if you can hear me, stop talking. I'm not trying to step on you here. But you know, very quickly before we move on to Saturday's game, since I was in attendance Friday, had the opportunity to very quickly before first pitch visit Williams Stadium, beautiful football stadium there at Liberty. Where the Pirates will be in late September this year. And, you know, put a little footage, 3 or 4 minutes of video on our YouTube channel. So go check that out to see the venue where Pirates will be playing game 4. And then also have some sights and sounds from the game itself for those who were unable to attend or watch on the ESPN Plus feed. Very nice ballpark there. I believe it's Worthington Field at Liberty Baseball Stadium.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. There's no question about it. A lot of respect, mucho respect for Liberty for all that their support of they have. I know everybody can say it's a private school and they have money, but certainly we're going to, if we want to compete at the highest level, then we've said it many times. You got to give $6.1 million, right, by the way, guys, for our Pirates Unite campaign, specifically talking about the baseball expansion. So, Pirate fans, we're less than $1 million away, and we'll be able to break ground on that awesome facility. Should be in the next couple of years. I don't think it'll take but more than, what, Bubba, 18 months to build that thing once they get the money?
I'm not sure. My hope is... Guess. Yeah, it may not take that long.
I hope.
My hope is that we can, over these next 3 or 4 months, and maybe like by the end of baseball season, we can meet that goal. And I know, yeah, that's $900,000, but I think, you know, if our season ticket holders and some of the businesses or large private donations, we can come together and get that done. And so we could break ground on it perhaps sometime during the summer months or in the fall.
That would be fantastic. I can't wait for that. And we're going to get some numbers for you for the indoor practice facility. Matt, I know, would like to know about that. So we'll find out more about that here next week or this coming week. I don't have the official number, so I hate to speculate. Maybe Bubba knows, but those two projects are the ones that are in the forethought of everybody's mind if you're a Pirate fan to go ahead and make those things happen. But Bubba, I put that, by the way, I put for our Facebook and YouTube folks on live tonight. Oscars are tonight. What is your favorite baseball movie of all time? Mine is The Natural. I love that with Robert Redford. I just love that movie. Many great baseball movies, but I'm just limiting to one because of our time. Do you have one, Bubba?
Yeah, we'll circle back to that. But, yeah, okay. It kind of just depends on whether I'm in the mood to laugh or, you know, more of a serious baseball movie because you, of course, have the original Major League.
Yeah.
That was a great one. Very funny. And you, of course, had Major League 2, which was filmed at Camden Yards. And you had
John Gass,
our very own Pirate baseball alum, John Gass, taking on a secondary role in that movie. And when we've discussed it with him here on the show, you know, former teammate of John White. But
Irving Bennett.
And then, like Irving said, if I'm a little more of a serious baseball movie,
great movie.
Field of Dreams is an excellent choice. And then you, of course, have kind of along the lines of Major League, Bull Durham, which was filmed right here in our great state, at least a lot of it, if not all of it,
yep.
At the Durham Athletic Park. And then I know some up at McCormick Field, the home of the Asheville Tourist.
Yes, it was a great movie. And definitely that's in my top, those would be my top five, the ones you mentioned. So we'll get back to that later on, but that was one of the things I wanted to do tonight on Extra Innings, being the Oscars are going on, is baseball movies for sure. Bubba, did you have anything more for Friday, or do you want to move on now to Saturday?
No, transitioning into Saturday's game. First of all, just glad we were able to get the game in because the weather, it was saying like 95-99% chance of rain, depending on where you looked, you know, and it was a nasty day, and you could see the breath of the players, you know, throughout the game, you know, so I believe temperatures were at least in the mid-40s, if not colder. On top of that, you know, slow, steady rain, I say slow or light rain, at least at times, and perhaps a little more heavy at times. But I know the people who were, you know, brave enough to attend that game were up on the concourse because it looked like there was probably about 10 people in attendance. But
yeah,
you know, my dad said that there were, you know, probably a couple hundred or something up on the concourse, perhaps, and that there were more Pirates there than there were Flame fans. But and give Liberty credit, and you know, they jumped on Zach Root early. They were able to get two or three extra base hits in the first couple innings. Zach, you know, to his credit, you know, did a pretty good job navigating that. You know, he fielded his position very well. You know, made an excellent play with a glove flip on the bunt that Matt had referenced to me while he was watching. And then also a line drive that he was able to glove and then quickly pick up and throw the batter out. Liberty had that 3-0 lead, you know, going into the sixth inning, I think it was. And then we slowly started to get some things going. You know, JJC had a RBI single to center, and then Bristol Carter had another hit. We talked about his 3-hit game on Friday, but his RBI brought the deficit to just one. And then JJC, you know, who had that RBI to start things off, later came around to score on a balk.
I was going to talk about that. Yeah.
Yeah. The
that was
one of the Pirates' favor. You know, if that was a game that didn't involve the Pirates. And not still, honestly, you know, you kind of felt bad for the guy, just the conditions, and it was just part of it. But at the same time, you were glad that it happened because it allowed us to tie the game and, you know, seize that momentum. But you know, he slipped and then was unable to complete his delivery, and as a result, JJC trotted home from third and made it 3-3 through, I think it was six innings. And then that following inning, Carter Cunningham came through big once again, as he has time and again through this first 25% of the season. And then you had Ryan McChrystal. It was great to see Ryan,
man,
get that solo shot
there.
That
was awesome.
To provide a little insurance in the top of the ninth that made it 5-3, which proved to be the final score.
Yeah, guys, and I think this team's going to go as those additional bats go, in terms of, I mean, we know we have two bona fide stars in Cunningham and JJC, and they're gonna get it done on a daily basis. But to have guys stepping up like we saw yesterday with Bristol Carter, a huge day, and McChrystal. You saw a huge hit, obviously, today, late in the game with Starling. So the additional bats, you know, providing, you know, some punch in the lineup, I think that's what's going to take this team ultimately, you know, into the regionals. But a really nice gritty performance yesterday, guys. There's no panic in this team. You know, you get down early, 3-0, absolutely no panic. They go about their business, and, you know, you get them through the lineup a few times, they start to figure out these opposing pitchers, and ultimately they were able to break them down. So, I thought that was a really good win, like Bubba said, on a cool Saturday night, yeah. On a road game, very good win.
Hey, Matt, did you see that balk? I mean, most of the time when it balks, I know Bubba is like, has more of an eye for things, but you have to be really paying attention to a balk. And that, like Bubba said, I felt bad for him. He slipped, and it's like his motion, he was going home, and then he kind of pulled it back and stopped. It was so obvious to be a balk. That's one of the most obvious balks I've ever seen in my life.
That's what I was going to say, Dave, that there are so many different ways in which a pitcher can balk, but that was one that was glaringly obvious.
Yeah, not to spend time on it. It was just like, it really, I was like, the wow factor was like a 10. If they did I don't know if they do that. I've never seen one, balks, like as far as plays of the day. But, man, that was a moment. Bubba, you mentioned that, you know, you have a one-run lead. And I saw how bad he felt. But you have a one-run lead, and all of a sudden you balk, and it's a tie game just like that, you know. But that's what it's fun about the game of baseball. You never know when there's a lot of surprises like that, when you least expect it.
No doubt. And speaking of least expecting things, you know, here early in the season, our starting pitching had been so good. You know, when they give up a hit or, you know, something goes wrong, that is inevitably going to happen. It's like we've been spoiled. They've been so excellent. But Zach Root, like I mentioned, no, it wasn't his best outing. But he was still able to give us five innings, three runs, all of which were earned on seven hits, seven strikeouts, and two walks. And I really liked the way he was able to minimize the damage in those first couple innings and then settle in to go five innings. And then you had you don't win that game, and you don't win today's game unless the bullpen pitched better than what it had for the majority of the season. And, you know, congratulations to Danny Beal. Danny picked up a win in Saturday's game, picked up a save today. And as a result of those 3 2/3 innings of work where he allowed only one hit, did not allow a run, four strikeouts, and most importantly, no walks, Danny had his command. And as a result, you can always, Trey Savage is going to be in the running, and then you're going to have another name or two like Zach Root that's in the running, not so much this week, but Wyatt Lunsford-Schinkman was also very good. But congratulations to DB Danny Beal on a couple of excellent outings, getting a win and a save, and being named our pgxgloves.com pitcher of the week.
No doubt, and well deserved. Dealing with Danny Beal, he was dealing him, and a great performance. And you know, that's what we're talking about. Sometimes, Bubba, we talk about experience. I was thinking about this last week. Experience when it comes to our freshmen, the young guys, but also what about the in-season experience too? A guy like Danny Beal. Sometimes, you know, everybody when that's the problem with these guys are doing so well. You make a great point, Bubba. We get spoiled, and then you're going, oh, my goodness. You know, you some people automatically go in the panic room with a pitcher, and the reality is, okay, the guy had a bad day or the guy has a tough outing doesn't mean that's the way his season is going to be defined.
Right. I mean, of course, against, I guess it was Texas in the Super Regional in 2022. I think, yeah. I mean, Danny had a rough performance, it seems like, but you know, look at how he performed in 2023. There was no doubt in my mind, you know, that sooner rather than later that Danny Beal would pitch the way we'd come to know Danny Beal.
Yeah.
And he certainly did over the weekend, and you know, I expect it to continue.
Yeah, guys, I think in some ways it might have been a guy, you guys may have covered this before I came on, but not having the midweeks this week, you know, in some ways for this team to be able to get away, you know, Danny Beal, obviously good a very point. Talented guy who, you know, hey, he's had some early struggles. But I think in some ways to just get away and get some rest, he had a lot of work early in this season so far. So to be able to get away for a few days, get some extra rest, and then come into the weekend very fresh, he looked like a different guy. That's the Danny Beal that we, you know, we're all expecting to see throughout the course of the year. And when he's on, he's obviously a very tough pitcher. So really, really great sign there for this rotation to be able to, for him to have that performance.
And great point, Matt, especially Bubba with these guys we always talk about with baseball as a marathon, not a sprint. We talk about the injuries and praying that we can limit those, especially to our pitching. And with a guy like that, there's a reason people always ask, why is this guy on a pitch count? Because we want to have him pitching well in June, right?
Exactly. And Wyatt Lunsford Schenkman had pitched so well.
Yeah.
I'm kind of a, you know, breakout's the wrong term, but you know, a very encouraging effort that he had those four innings against Cal State Fullerton, and then had a solid inning of work on Friday. Yesterday, you know, like I mentioned, Danny got the win in his inning in two thirds, because that's obviously when we took control of the game, you know, took the lead. But Wyatt Lunsford Schenkman, 2 1/3, picked up the save, didn't allow a run, 2 hits, 5 strikeouts and a walk. And just to see him continue to pitch the way he had pitched against Fullerton, he pitched much the same against Liberty. And, you know, you get him and Danny Beal, a.k.a. Double Dylan, you know, go to Shimmer Boutique and you know, get you a Double Dylan shirt, you know, allow those guys to benefit from it. And also, you know, have a sharp looking t-shirt.
No doubt about it. I'll tell you what, looking forward to this baseball season as the Pirates have a tough game. We'll talk about that on the road and then a home series. We'll talk about that in just a little bit. Pirates sweep Liberty. Bubba, do you want to talk about today's game? Do you want to move up to that while we have a lot of people viewing?
Yeah.
Might as well talk about Sunday's game.
Yeah, today, you know, kind of similar from the standpoint that the game entered the middle innings, and we were playing from behind. We were playing from a multi-run deficit. We were trailing, I believe it was 4-2, but kind of on a different note, we did start out putting a 2-spot up today, unlike Saturday. And then you had Liberty respond with a home run, and then they took that 3-2 lead, and then extended that to 4-2. But you had not a ton of hits on the weekend. You know, the Pirates only had 24 hits in the series, but they had a lot of clutch hits. And when we got guys on, you know, we were able to do some damage for the most part. And again, I think it went 9 hits, 7 hits, and 8 hits, something like that in the 3 games. But taking a look at game 3, you had that clutch hit later on after the Pirates had taken the lead. you blew the game open, much like on Friday when you had the three-run double by Carter Cunningham that made it 9-1. You had the three-run, I believe it was a double today by Jacob Starling that made it 8-4. And I know, Matt, you had referenced that here just a few minutes ago.
Yeah, guys, I really loved what I saw today in the ninth inning, that we were able to just basically put the clamps down and finish Liberty off. And, you know, great to see Starling come up with that clutch 2-RBI hit. I want to say, if I'm not mistaken, we had Riley Johnson on base and JJC, and he, you know, Starling just comes up and he just finished the game right there.
Yeah, maybe I misspoke. I said three-run double, maybe just a two-run double.
What? Yeah, so great sign, guys. But I'll say this, man. Before that game started, Dave, when I saw the way that wind was blowing out the right field, I'm like, man, these hitters are going to feast today. There's going to be a million home runs. You know, you barely touch the ball if you're a lefty, and it's going to go out. And you saw it early in the game with Liberty with the, I guess it was the three-run shot.
Yeah.
And
all of a sudden, we're down in one pitch. We're down 3-2.
Yeah, exactly. But again, credit to our guys. You know, they don't panic. They just keep grinding. And today they were able to end that game in decisively in the ninth. And that's what I really liked about it.
The mental toughness, Matt and Bubba, the fact that these guys, you look at it with that very fact, you know, they're waiting for that. They're chomping at the bit. They're waiting for that moment where they can just pounce on you. And they did it in the ninth inning. It's kind of funny because this team, you don't know when it's going to be. When is that big breakout inning? It's going to be a 3-spot, a 4-spot, a 5-spot. And you're right. They have the confidence in the pitching. The pitching is going to most likely keep them in the game, and then know they'll get their chance not only to knock maybe the starter out, or maybe have a high pitch count where he throws a pitch he wished he had not thrown, and next thing you know, it goes yard.
Yep. And today, you know, unfortunately, you know, for a second consecutive week, you know, did not get the start that we would have liked. That goes without saying, you know, from Jake Hunter. You know, a lot of confidence in Jake, but you know, hopefully we'll see him bounce back next weekend against Columbia. I think we will. But today, command was lacking. You know, once again, I think he went just 2 2/3. 4 runs, all of which were earned on 3 hits, 5 strikeouts, and 3 walks. So yeah, you still, of the 8 outs he recorded, 5 were K's, but like I noted, three walks. And then you had, very excited about the performance of Jaden Winter. Jaden picked up the win in relief, 2 1/3, and then you also had Eric Ritchie. He worked 2/3 of an inning successfully. And you're able to get, like I mentioned, Danny Beal in there again to get the save. And I'm trying to remember who. Chris Kaler. Chris Kaler was the name that was escaping me. Chris Kaler worked an inning in the third. He did, maybe not as sharp as he would have liked to have been. I think he walked two, but. The big story was the emergence, you know, a reemergence of Danny Beal, and pitching the way we know Danny can. Wyatt Lunsford-Shinkman continuing to pitch the way he can, and then also Eric Ritchie, like I mentioned, working 2/3 of an inning, and Jaden Winter pitching well. So that bullpen is slowly but surely, you know, coming together, and there was no reason to think that it wouldn't, you know, based on the way we've seen staffs develop in the past. And, you know, we just, those young guys ran into some rough patches, and then just some atypical performance by veterans who have since performed the way we know they can.
No doubt, man. I'll tell you what, I'm excited about this bullpen. And I've said along, these guys are young. Norby, a lot of those guys are so young, but they've got a lot of talent. And, you know, Matt and Bubba, you guys have played at the college level, and the speed, we talk about that, but every level you move up, the speed of the game and everything is so different, even though it may be the same fundamentals and the same, you know, rules and all that. But as far as the level of talent and the, man, the pressure, I mean, I can't imagine, and I'm not knocking our fans, but I can't imagine being a player at East Carolina and knowing the expectations. I'm glad that we have high expectations for our program. Don't get me wrong, but I can't imagine that. I don't think the wind played as much a factor, Matt, going back to your point. But speaking of pressure, that wind today, I played outfield growing up. I can't imagine what they were going through with that wind, the wind conditions today.
And you referenced the conditions, be it the wind, cold temperatures, et cetera. You know, and we had one error on the weekend, and that was by a pitcher. You know, so pretty impressive.
Yeah.
On the road, the weather, and we did not have a position player commit an E in that three-game series.
And a man that never commits an error, I don't care where he is, what he's doing, Kyle from the McGrange Barber, he's coming in for relief, I guess, for Matt Cimenta.
No errors tonight. Okay. What's going on, guys? There we go.
At North Carolina Town.
So what's going on, guys? I don't know what I've missed so far, probably quite a bit. But obviously a great weekend for the Pirates, stating the obvious with the sweep over Liberty, particularly after not getting to play the midweek games, which who knows what that was all about. It worked out good this weekend.
It's a word called tarp. Use a tarp.
Right.
And
no, it really is. That's what happened.
I know that's what happened.
But you know, Kyle, we were just kind of giving our final thoughts on game Sunday. Three. We were finishing up game three, and then going to take a look at what's ahead, and as well as a quick look around the American.
Yeah, I didn't get to see a lot of today's game. We were up 2-0, and then they hit the bomb to go up 3-2, and after that I wasn't able to watch much after it was 4-3 after we took the lead back. I know we went on to win 8-4, so. Yeah, y'all can go on and talk about the rest of that because I missed the second half of the game, unfortunately.
Yeah,
we discussed that. We were talking about when you were there backstage about the wind conditions. I was worried about that. Thankfully, it turned out that that wasn't the factor that I thought it was going to be in today's game. But also, you can make a point, what, Bubba, yesterday and Friday's game, I guess all weekend long.
Yeah, certainly not ideal baseball weather, but, you know, Friday, not so bad. But Saturday was definitely the worst of the three games, as the majority of the crowd was watching from the concourse and because of the brutal conditions and just staying dry. But did you guys have anything else to say regarding this series? My biggest thing.
I have a question for you, Bubba, about being up there. A couple questions about Liberty. You talk about the weather. I've never been to Lynchburg. I know it's in the mountains. I'm assuming it's not a high elevation like Boone. How much? So it wasn't much colder than it would have been here.
It was upper 50s during that game on Friday, mid to upper 50s.
Okay. And then the second, just Liberty's campus in general, obviously nice looking baseball stadium. Their football stadium looks nice. You got video, checked everything out firsthand if you hadn't already talked about it, or if you want to talk about it later.
Yeah, we plugged that when I was talking about being at Friday's game. Go to our YouTube channel and check out the sights and sounds from the baseball game, but also the video from Williams Stadium as the Pirates will be there game four of the 2024 season.
How nice is their football stadium? Well, I mean, how would you compare it? Obviously it's a lot newer than ours, but how would you compare it?
It's very nice. The size is, it's a little bit bigger than Old Dominion. Not a lot. I think they listed it 25,000 now. It really has the feel of a little bit bigger than that, maybe, but it's not quite, it's about 5,000, 6,000 smaller than Wake Forest. I know Wake Forest listed theirs right around 31,000. But, you know, very impressive, as you'll see if you check out the video that I have on our YouTube channel. And, you know, since I had been there, which I think the last time I was there was early on, you know, I say early on, about 3 or 4 years into Cliff Godwin's tenure when we were on our way back from Charlottesville.
At Quinnipiac?
And, yeah. and so we stopped there to check out the facilities. They had not added the deck opposite the press box, and then they hadn't closed in the one end zone that has been done over the last 5 to 6 years. So very nice. The money is evident, you know, whether it's the football stadium or the other buildings on campus. And I think Pirate fans that make the trip will be very impressed and will enjoy themselves. Something that we can discuss later, but the dynamics of tailgating on that campus, and that could be interesting. I don't know if it's permitted, first of all. Like BYU, it was not permitted.
Yeah, I was wondering about that. Tailgating wasn't permitted, or drinking alcohol?
My dad said that there was not tailgating. Any tailgating at BYU, I believe, was done elsewhere. Not there, you know, adjacent to LaVell Edwards Stadium.
By the way, our good correspondent from the great state of Virginia, the Commonwealth, Johnny Robertson, says Lynchburg is surrounded by the Blue Ridge Mountains, but their elevation is only around 600 feet.
Yeah, like Lenoir, North Carolina.
Yep.
My guess, and I'm just guessing at this, it's still the South. I bet you they allow tailgating on campus, but I bet you they police it very heavily about alcohol, would be my guess.
My guess is they don't have it on campus, and it's surround, like, they have it, but it's not on campus. It's like Justin Butts, do you know that? Ask your wife. He probably already knows, but I know his wife, it was kind of that was house divided. How did you, I guess, Justin, it's good to know Justin made it to the program. That means he's still alive tonight. But for those that don't know, Justin Butts' wife went to Liberty. He said, I'm telling you, Liberty is a sleeping giant.
That was a comment he had made about 30 minutes ago. But
it's absolutely, I agree with that 100%. They've already proven it. You know, they played Oregon in the Fiesta Bowl this year, and I don't even think you can say they're a sleeping giant. They're already awake.
They're a giant.
I think Liberty, I've said it before and I'll say it again, I don't think they'll be in conference USA very long. I think they're going to be in the American. If we don't let them in the Sun Belt, we'll. They're not going to sit and see USA long, I don't think. And, you know, who knows what can happen down the road with conference realignment. They got all the money to do what they want to do and go as far as they want to go. So it'll be interesting to see how that program plays out over the years.
Yeah, we don't have a team in Virginia, right? So for the meaning of the American. So that would be a – We didn't pick Old Dominion like I had hoped. And so for the American being in the TV market, and Liberty is not a TV market, but man, they've got a lot of dollars for sure.
Yeah. And they could, you know, I don't even want to get into all the, it could be, Liberty's what Justin said. I think that's at this point an understatement.
One of your favorite schools, Kyle, we're playing on Tuesday, UNC Wilmington.
Yeah. Obviously a big rivalry. Anytime the Pirates and Seahawks get together, I feel like we've that rivalry's kind of lost a little bit of luster to Campbell here recently, but, God knows we need a midweek win. Be nice to, beat the Seahawks.
No doubt. And, Columbia's coming to town next weekend. Or this coming weekend, I'm sure tickets will be tough to get. So go ahead and get your tickets Friday, Saturday. I'm not being sarcastic. I'm being honest about that. I think a lot of a good problem to have if you're John Gilbert and company, where these games are people buying tickets left and right to see the Pirates play.
Yeah, yeah. And a little bit more, Dave, as far as UNC Wilmington's concerned. Okay. The Seahawks are off to a 9-7 start. You know, they opened the year taking 2 out of 3 from Kent State. They dropped a midweek game to Coastal Carolina and took 2 out of 3 from Princeton. Dropped 2 out of 3 to South Alabama in a very proud program, and that series was down in Mobile. They dropped a midweek game to Boston College, who was swept by NC State. This weekend, Wolfpack winning game 3, 18-16 today. And then this weekend, the Seahawks swept A-10 foe St. Joe's, winning a trio of three one-run games. I mean, 6-5, 3-2, and 4-3 there in Wilmington at Brooks Field, as you would guess, here early in the season. But, the Seahawks 9-7 thus far.
Yeah, that's a game I want to say must win, but we've got to win. Remember last season, what killed us as far as hosting is concerned is we got to win those midweek games, especially.
Yeah, I would call anything a must win at this point, but to your point, Wilmington so far anyway, not the team they normally are. Not a horrible team, but they haven't played a murderer's row schedule, well, decent schedule, but not anything crazy in the early 9-7. So that could be an RPI issue if you lose that game down the road, depending on how the Seahawks do. So yeah, you want to take care of business Wednesday night. But you know, not to sound like an NC State fan, but this will be Wilmington's Super Bowl, so we better be ready.
Yeah, they, by the way, they do allow tailgating. It says tailgating is allowed at Liberty, but must be within the assigned space and cannot take up other spaces or impede traffic. There are a lot of grass and areas to tailgate around the lots, but no RVs. So if you have
RVs, alcohol permitted for tailgating?
That's what I'm trying to find out.
Yeah.
So my guess would be no, but.
Or no, but they kind of wink. Yeah.
So
on Saturday they allow it. I don't know.
Well, you get you some of those koozies. You can find them in the TikTok shop. They look like Coke cans or whatever, and then you just slot them over your beer cans, and yeah, they're not really koozies, but they're skins for beer cans.
According to Liberty.edu, this is according to our good buddy JR out of Virginia. They have big plans to boost their already energetic tailgating atmosphere.
They're gonna allow 2 beers per guest.
And if you're a Pirate fan, they'll allow 6, but bring a 6 pack. I'm just kidding. I don't know that.
Taking a look around the American, you have the Pirates and all this is, of course, just based non-conference records thus far. East Carolina 10-4. Wichita State 9-5. The Shockers took 2 out of 3 this weekend from Long Beach State at X Stadium. So big series win there for the Shockers under their first year regime. Tulane, the Green Wave are 10-6, and they dropped 2 out of 3 at Moore Field there in Lafayette, as they say down there. But they won game 1 11-8 before falling 5-4 and 4-3 in games 2 and 3. South Florida took 2 out of 3 from North Carolina A&T in what was actually a fairly competitive series there in Tampa. You had the Bulls winning 8-7 on Friday, 12-7 yesterday, and then falling 13-1 to the Aggies today. Sorry, go ahead.
I just got an answer to that question. As we expected, Liberty does not allow alcohol, including at tailgating events. So there you go. No alcohol at your tailgate in Lynchburg in September.
And Florida Atlantic. They had a traveling series with FIU. Two of those games, games 1 and 3, were in Boca, and the Owls won each of those games 4-1 and 24-2, dropping the middle game that was played in Miami 7-4.
24-2. Good God.
Yeah, 24-2. Able to get a safety there late to prevent the shutout.
Yeah.
Charlotte, 49ers are now 8-8. They dropped 2 out of 3 at home to Maryland. They defeated the Terps 9-5 on Friday, but lost 13-2 and 3-2 on Saturday and Sunday. You have UTSA. The Roadrunners are 8-8, and they were at Texas A&M Corpus Christi this weekend, and they fell in 2 of those 3 games, winning the middle game 5-4. You have UAB, and the Blazers are off to a 7-8 start. And this weekend, they dropped 2 out of 3 up in Nashville to Belmont, preventing the sweep today with a 7-3 win. You have the Memphis Tigers. They have a new regime as well. They're 7-10, and they were hosting their own kind of classic format of a tournament, losing to Butler 7-6, Presbyterian 4-1, and Jackson State 6-4, after falling to Ole Miss 5-3 in the midweek. And they have currently lost 5 straight. And then Rice, the Owls, such a proud baseball program under Wayne Graham. They are now 5-9, and over the weekend, they split their first 2 games at Hawaii 5-2 and 4-3, and then are actually playing them later on today and then tomorrow in that 4-game series on the islands. And that does it for our AAC baseball report.
Couple of notes from that. One, Charlotte 8-8, UTSA 8-8. They were both picked in the upper half of the league. Don't know what their non-conference schedule looks like. That 8-8 might be misleading for both of those, but just interesting that after the Pirates, those were supposed to be the 2 next best teams in the league, and as of right now, they're 8-8. And then Tulane, who I think their record's pretty good on the year, losing 2 out of 3 at Louisiana, but all 3 games competitive. Obviously, Louisiana, very good program, a program that competes for regionals and super regionals on a regular basis. So no shame in losing 2 out of 3 at Lafayette, and all 3 were very competitive.
Our good friend Charlotte had a very competitive non-conference schedule with a weekend series against Virginia Tech, West Virginia, and Maryland, all there on the campus here in Charlotte.
Yeah, so a little misleading with that 8-8, but a very strong very strong non-conference schedule and getting them all to come to Charlotte too. It's good for them, I guess. And yeah, that is misleading with that 8-8 record once you read that schedule.
Yeah, that's using the using your climate location to your advantage.
Easy travel.
Obviously, I have a decent ballpark as well, but yeah, getting West Virginia and Maryland down here especially. And then to an extent, I guess Virginia Tech as well.
Yeah. And those schools can also hit up for a midweek game against Queens.
There you go. Hey guys, Johnny Robertson says Columbia gave up 80 runs this weekend in comparison with East Carolina. We've given up 55 runs in 14 games. So we have,
well, that could be fun. Hopefully you didn't jinx us, Johnny.
Blame it on JR. It's your fault, JR, if we don't score much on next weekend. That's from Kyle, not me, because you're my buddy.
Dallas, who shot JR?
Yeah,
that's right. Bubba shot the jukebox.
Yeah, but did he shoot JR? No, that's very interesting, though. That's all. Who did they play? Who were they playing this weekend where they gave up 80 runs?
It wasn't LSU, and that's for sure. LSU okay. was playing. LSU lost to Xavier, right, Bubba? Today, like 2-1.
They did. They beat them 4-0 on Friday. I'm trying to remember the score. It wasn't a totally lopsided game yesterday, and then they fell 2-1 today.
So all you folks.
Yeah, after nearly falling to Southeastern Louisiana, needed a ninth inning rally to win at Southeastern on Tuesday. So yeah, it's just one of those things. And let's see. I was looking up who Columbia played. It was Fresno State and UC Irvine. They played four games. Friday, they lost to UC Irvine 32-2. On Saturday, they played both Fresno State and UC Irvine. In the Fresno State game, they lost 8-5, you know, respectable there. But then Irvine beat them 25-7 in the nightcap. So in two games, UC Irvine beat them a combined 57-9.
Holy crap. What is UC Irvine? Have they been putting up a bunch of runs on everybody?
I'll look in a moment, but then Fresno State beat them 15-4 today. UC Irvine is 13-1, and let's see, they put up 14 on North Dakota State, 10 on North Dakota State, 11 on Tulane, 10 on Tulane, 12 on Michigan.
Ooh.
They've had seven games already where they've scored 10-plus runs.
Keep an eye out for UC Irvine as we go down the stretch. Could be their program historically, I don't think it's horrible, but I don't recall Irvine. They're certainly not a Fresno State that's won a national championship. But man, early on, UC Irvine's red hot. I wasn't expecting some of those wins you named there, Tulane, Michigan.
No doubt. Hey, by the way, our great show is brought to you by pgxgloves.com. And thank you, Bubba, for putting that up on the screen. For those, let me give a shout out to all the people commuting, all the people that listen to us while riding long distances, or maybe you're outside mowing the grass. We appreciate you so much, and we want to tell you about that. Hey, Kyle, tell everybody about pgxgloves.com.
Pgxgloves.com, they are your home for all your glove needs. If your child happens to play football, they got, receiver gloves. If he's a baseball player, they got your batting gloves. Maybe you yourself like to play golf. Well, you can, by God, go get you some snazzy, fancy golfing gloves. And, hey, look, pgxgloves.com does not endorse murder, but if you need to wear something to hide your fingerprints, pgxgloves.com has you covered. Go to pgxgloves.com, put in promo code ECU at checkout, save yourself 20%.
There goes our title sponsor, Bubba. You work so hard on Kaz. It's so good to us. We did have a great title sponsor. Kaz, hopefully you'll stay with us after that.
Kyle's going to get him. Kyle's going to take up the game, and he's going to get him a golf glove, and he can be out there golfing Bushwood like Rodney Dangerfield.
I'll also be looking for the real killer.
There you go. Let's see what else.
Somebody got that and is laughing hysterically.
Bubba, we wanted to talk about, obviously, our great ladies and not on the obviously on the baseball field, but our great ladies on the hardwood.
The great ladies on the baseball field.
Well, yeah, we've got our ladies that played today, the first round of the tournament. Ladies
on the baseball field.
But have you ever seen a league of their own? I'm trying to make a transition to basketball on a baseball show.
Yeah, they're members of the All-American
League.
They come from cities near and far.
No.
Dave's a Rockford Peach at heart.
Yeah.
Congratulations to Kim McNeil and the Lady Pirates. 65-63 win over the number 9 Memphis Tigers. And now it's the 8-9 game in the American Athletic Conference Tournament down in Fort Worth at Dickey's Arena. Pirates played Memphis 3 times this year, guys, and those 3 games were decided by a grand total of 5 points. So, and congrats to them for finding a way to get it done. They got a couple of stops late in the final 15 and 20 seconds, including a steal by Bobby Smith to seal it, and as a result, will play top seeded Tulsa, who I believe you can fact check me on this, Dave. I'm pretty sure we beat Tulsa earlier this year. So, kind of like on the men's side, you know, anything we see in this women's tournament or the men's tournament here in a few days will not surprise me. Very much up for grabs.
Surprise me if we win it, the men's tournament, that is.
Well, yes, but if we win it, it would not shock me to see us win a game or two. You know,
you're right, Bubba. But, I mean,
you look at it, and granted,
win a game or two. Yes.
South Florida did not have to win the game to. They had already clinched the title, so you have to take that into consideration. But at the same time, you know, they were, I guess, 17-1 or something, and went out and lost at Tulsa.
Yeah, we beat
maybe not 17-1, 16-1, but went out and lost to Tulsa, who I think going into the game was something like 13-4 at the Reynolds Center. So I thought that may surprise some folks, not that they're necessarily going to win, but I thought they would give South Florida a competitive game, and they did more than that. But again, Kim McNeil and the Lady Pirates will play on Monday afternoon, 1 o'clock tip off at Dickey's Arena down in Fort Worth against the Tulsa Golden Hurricane. And hopefully they'll be able to advance to Tuesday's semifinals. And then also on the ladies side, you had the softball Pirates, unfortunately. After getting off to the 21-2 start, it was going to be a step up in competition this week and starting league play, and they were swept at North Texas. You know, Pirates were pretty competitive, but just
fell short.
Not quite there yet. Falling, I think it was 5-0, 2-0, and then today 7-4, and we led late in that game today 4-3, and then North Texas hit a grand slam. I think it was in the bottom of the fifth.
Yeah, Shane Winkler is a great coach. He's turning the program around, so he'll have them. That the transfer, I will say, the transfer portal for him has been kind. So appreciate his hard work and dedication, because it's fun to watch those games now, and I look forward to seeing some this year very, very soon. By the way, Kyle, we asked this question earlier, so we're going to get to, we're almost at the end of the show. If you're just joining us, what is your favorite baseball movie? The reason for that, asking that, the Oscars are tonight. So what's your favorite baseball movie?
This is a tough one. I guess I'll go Major League, because it's so quotable, so many funny moments remembered from it.
Just a bit outside.
Yes, the bit outside, you know, Jobu, you trying to tell me Jesus Christ can't hit the curveball? I don't know, so many great lines. So I got Major League, League of Their Own. We were just parodying, making fun of a minute ago. It was a great one. Field of Dreams, obviously, is a good one. The Sandlot is another great one.
Classic. I forgot that. Yeah, of course.
I mean, I could keep going, but those are the ones that immediately come to mind.
All right. Yeah. What about there's some that have been, you know, like For the Love of the Game. I like that one with Kevin Costner in the, what's that been, about 15, 20 years ago?
Yeah. The one, the true story about the pitcher, the rookie movie.
Yeah.
Pitcher in Texas for the Ranger. For the Rays.
Yeah. Tampa Bay Devil Rays.
That was good. I don't know. We could just sit here and keep going. I mean, there's so many.
The Natural.
Absolutely.
My favorite. That's why I was. Bull Durham, we talked about.
Yeah, of course. Bull, Eight Men Out.
In Bull Durham, obviously, one of the references you always hear from the jungle, you know, and Serve It Up Meat, you know, Kevin Costner, you know, in that movie. Calling, you know, the character Nuke LaLoosh, referring to him as meat.
Yeah.
Did you guys like Rookie of the Year, or is that too corny?
I like it as a kid. It doesn't hold up.
Yeah.
Angels in the outfield
doesn't hold up. The Sandlot holds up. Those two don't.
Oh yeah.
Sandlot definitely holds up. I feel like I'm forgetting something, like a baseball movie I really love, but maybe I'm not.
Jackie Robinson movie 42. I've never seen it.
Yeah, it's a good movie. It's good. I've watched it. It's good.
Okay.
I have it. I'm sorry. I'm thinking of a different movie. But no, I haven't seen that. I do need to watch it.
Yeah, that's a great one. Any last call on favorite movies? As we, John White says, Field of Dreams. I love that. And by the way, love
Field of Dreams is great.
Sidebar here to add to Field of Dreams, John. I love how they guys are doing that. I know Kyle's going to get me for being gimmicky, but I love how Major League Baseball is doing a game there at the Field of Dreams baseball field.
Well, I like that. Who said I was? Okay. When have you ever heard me say? The first one they did, it was it the Cubs and who the hell was it? Was it Cubs and White Sox? Who played in the first one?
I don't know. It's just a few years ago they started.
Yeah, right? I remember watching it.
I loved it.
Anyway, it's was it Cubs and Red Sox maybe? Anyway,
Cubs sounds right.
But no, that's what about it? Are you saying they're doing it again?
Aren't they doing it once a year, one game a year?
Yeah, they do it to my knowledge every year. But yeah, I didn't know if you were going somewhere with that, or if they made some kind of announcement, or you're just bringing it up in relation to Field of Dreams.
I'm bringing up the relation to Field of Dreams. I was just saying I like the fact they're doing.
No, it's very cool. I love one game a year. Yeah, I love they're doing it too.
Yeah, the Field of Dreams. Bubba's asking me the Field of Dreams game. Yeah. I guess.
Yeah, that was awesome. I remember.
I wish we could remember that.
The ticket prices for that.
Oh man,
we're insane. But that was.
They're still doing it. It's quite the scene.
Quite.
I think
they're
making it a yearly thing, Bob. Is what we're talking about.
I think it's like one game a year, right? They don't overdo it, which I like. They just do like.
Yeah.
Yeah. I let me see if I can put that up. Pull that up real.
While Dave's looking for that, you know.
Go ahead, yeah.
And Pirate fans or others who may be tuned in, and check out Homefield. You can find them online at homefieldapparel.com. You know, Homefield has premium college apparel, over 150 schools, including, of course, East Carolina. Use promo code TSO, and you can get 15% off at checkout. And then also purchase via our link, which we're going to have pinned to our the Sports Objective Facebook page, as well as our other social media. And if you purchase via that link, then we'll get 10% commission from that. So obviously a great East Carolina selection, whether it's your modern or your vintage marks. But then you also have over 150 other schools that you can purchase gifts for friends or family.
Or you can buy a t-shirt or jersey of every school that we beat this baseball season.
There you go. And you can put it out in the jungle.
That's right.
We'll start a new tradition. I like to have the brooms and the mops from a couple of years ago when they had the four games in a weekend, which was nuts. They did that. By the way, the Field of Dreams game we were talking about is going to be not in Iowa like we thought. It's going to be in Birmingham, apparently, on Juneteenth. It's the game will feature a Negro Leagues tribute game between the San Francisco Giants and St. Louis Cardinals, and that'll be at 6 p.m. that night, so in June. So no Iowa game this year, looks like.
You say that's going to be at the AA Park in Birmingham?
Yeah.
I mean, that's a nice thing to do, but why does it have to be one or the other?
Yeah, they should find a way to do both of those.
Yeah.
Two entirely different things, but, you know, what do I know? It seems like they could find a way to do both.
And honor both things.
Yeah, I think it'd be really easy to do both. In fact, it makes no sense at all. I mean, great that they're doing that. I have no problem with that. Please, nobody miscue that. Yeah. I just don't know why that has to replace you know, the Field of Dreams game in the cornfield. Let's do both.
And speaking of not knowing enough about it, but and maybe this, and that's something I'm sure that Major League Baseball may own the rights to, but how cool would it be, you know, for the Iowa Hawkeyes?
Oh, yeah.
For some teams out there to play.
Yeah, that is a good idea.
Play a game there.
That's a great idea. I don't know if that has had – somebody's had to – Bubba, you cannot be the first person to think of that. There has had to be Iowa fans, Iowa baseball fans that have thought of that. That's definitely something they should do. The problem is the growing season.
Imagine that.
Season in Iowa – isn't going to be the same as your growth season in North Carolina. So I'm assuming that game, if you look in the past, I'm assuming that game's played in July because, you know, the way corn would grow. So I don't know that it's going to work for the college baseball season. That I don't think your corn's going to be high enough for it to look right.
Right. I read about that in regards to the filming of that movie and exactly the very small window of time, like you were saying, that they had to get all those shots in because of what you're referencing.
Yeah, there's a saying out there. There's something about, I can't remember the exact saying, knee high or waist high by the 4th of July is what you want your corn to grow by. But I'm screwing the saying up somehow. Somebody maybe from the Midwest can get that saying right. It's pretty close to that.
All right, you guys have anything before we go? We've been on here about an hour and a half.
I had one more comment here from John White, the former Pirate pitcher from the Coach O era there in the early 90s. He said, so here's a little shout-out to what Link Jarrett and Florida State's doing. They're off to a 14-0 start. You know, if you recall, you know the Seminoles took their lumps a year ago, but yeah, I knew that would not continue under Link Jarrett, and you just had to be patient and give him time. But the Seminoles, again, are 14-0, averaging over 11 runs a game. And, you know, he has that tie to East Carolina where he served as, hitting coach and worked with the infielders, I believe, you know, former shortstop for the Seminoles, All-American under the legendary Mike Martin, and played in Omaha multiple times for FSU, but and then also served as the head coach at UNCG prior to moving on to Notre Dame.
Billy Godwin took his police, right, Bubba?
Yep, and then he of course led Notre Dame to Omaha, and then he was able to land the job at his alma mater there in Tallahassee.
That's very cool, and we'll most likely see him. Unless they have something going on, a good chance to get a national seat if they keep that up for sure. All right, thanks to our good friends at PGXGloves.com being our title sponsor, Mark Menikazi, the Randy Mazey days, third baseman. Appreciate all he does. Go there to PGXGloves.com. As I'm going to do for my kids, their baseball and softball are starting now for them. Pirates Week Liberty this weekend, and good luck to them on the road, UNCW, and of course home. And get your tickets now. Columbia, I know everybody says it's not a household name, but Pirates are going to definitely love to have your support, and it's great to see baseball.
Hey, look, Columbia beat us in the NCAA tournament a couple years ago. I guess it's been more than a couple years ago now.
Yeah, but it's Cliff's first season down in Miami.
Well, to me, it's a couple years ago. Anything in the last 10 years is a couple years ago.
I guess when he was a head coach at Quinnipiac is when it happened.
That was easily explained. They played Quinnipiac earlier this year, and evidently just didn't change their graphics properly.
Yep.
But a final note about this Columbia series, it just hit me when Dave was referencing that taking place this coming weekend. That was the opponent for the Pirates in 2020 when things got shut down. We were going to UNC Wilmington, got the news that the Ivy League had shut things down.
That's
Columbia was the opponent.
What the hell? No, why would they do that?
And then Cliff Godwin got on the phone. So here we are. Hopefully that's where the deja vu stops with the fact that we're playing UNC Wilmington and three games against Columbia.
Wait a minute. Hold on. Wait a minute. 4 years wait ago. A minute. Wait a minute. Baseball players are notorious for being the most superstitious human beings on the planet. How Cliff must be not? Do we not know if Cliff's not superstitious?
I guess not. That was 4 years ago. That's right.
I mean, for Cliff to schedule this exact same schedule out the way it was in 2020, he must not be superstitious at all.
Well, Palumbo actually does the schedule, right, Bubba?
Well, I don't care who did it. Somebody ain't superstitious. That is crazy.
Yes.
Yeah, right. Does neither one of y'all find that as crazy as I do?
No, it does. Yeah, I hadn't thought about it. That's a very good point. It was like a Tuesday? It was a Wednesday game, wasn't it, Bubba? Tuesday
coming off. We were coming off a series sweep at Charlotte.
Yeah.
And then we lost that. Lost in walk-off fashion to the Seahawks on Tuesday. You know, we knew the Ivy League was shutting things down, that the Columbia series was not going to happen. So Cliff Godwin and Coach Palumbo started working the phones, trying and putting things out on social media, trying to schedule someone. And before that had an opportunity to happen, you know, things got shut down for good.
In fact, on my birthday, we were going to have the game, remember, in Kinston, at Granger Stadium?
Yeah, against Wilmington, yeah.
Yeah, and that never happened, so.
Nah.
No birthday party at Granger, so, that year, in 2020. All right, good luck to the Pirates. Hopefully, they can pull things out. It'd be great to have, as Kyle said, hard to believe, our first midweek game winner to win that and down in Wilmington. We'll see how that goes against UNCW. And, of course, next weekend, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, home against Columbia, and we'll keep our fingers crossed, as I do on the screen, that nothing crazy happens this time. All right, for Kyle, Bubba, I'm Dave Richmond. You've been watching and listening to Extra Innings right here on the Sports Objective. Good night, everybody, and as always, go Pirates.
That concludes this week's edition of Extra Innings, presented by pgxgloves.com on the Sports Objective. Join us again next Sunday night as we will again talk East Carolina Pirate Baseball. Be sure to follow the Sports Objective on social media. It can be found at the Sports OBJ on X, at the Sports Objective on Instagram and TikTok. Like and follow the show on Facebook and subscribe to our YouTube channel. When you subscribe, be sure to click the notification bell and all, so you're alerted on your device anytime we go live or upload new content. As always, we appreciate you watching and listening to the show. Go Pirates!